be showing the things of Christ to me. We're in Mark chapter 15. We're going to be talking about Pilate tonight, and oh, if only Pilate had said, "Tell me more about Jesus." But you know, we're going to find out. Yes.
Elizabeth's lost her Bible. Does somebody have a Bible around them that it doesn't belong to them? But she's just concerned to find hers.
Why?
We're missing a Bible. She thinks she placed here. Is there anyone around?
She can give you a Bible.
It's not here.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
You're fine. Pilate is going to be cross-examining Jesus Christ. And can you hear me? You can't hear me. Okay. All right. Now can you hear me? All right. I buzzed. Let me get away from this and see if I can do it like this. Okay.
That's good.
All right. Am I good now? Can everybody hear me now? Okay, I feel like a commercial. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay, Mark chapter 15. Very early in the morning, the chief priest with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Okay, here's a couple of things that I want you to understand. Is if you remember, the night before, they couldn't agree on what the charges against Jesus were going to be. And we went, and their law said they had to have at least two witnesses. They couldn't come up with the same story twice. Yeah, and we're going to see here where Satan is really trying to destroy Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that the end result is Jesus Christ destroys Satan.
Amen.
You see, many times you're going to find yourself in a situation and you think, oh my goodness, all of hell is coming after me. But I have good news for you. Jesus Christ has won that battle. And the end result is you are going to prevail against the gates of hell.
Amen.
And I don't know what you're going through, but God does. And that battle has been fought on Calvary. And the good news is we win.
Amen.
We win. But I'm not going to tell you won't go through it. But the nice thing is, if you go through it, you're not going through it alone. Oh, we all pray for deliverance, don't we? I like deliverance. That's actually my preference. But sometimes he says, you're going through it. Yeah, and you might get thrown in the fire, but you'll come out without even the smell of smoke on you. And the truth is, Pilate is now going to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords standing before him. More about Jesus would I know. You see, that should be what every one of us prays every day. God, show me more of you. You know, 2 Corinthians tells us that he's changing us from glory to glory to glory. That only comes when we understand and know more and more about Jesus and his love for us.
Amen.
More about Jesus would I know. Pilate doesn't know what he doesn't know. It's a dangerous person. It's the person who does not know what they do not know.
Amen.
I'll give you all a minute to think that one through. But there are a lot of people who think they know everything and they don't understand. They do not know nothing, anything at all. So Pilate is now going to get Jesus. But the chief priests and the elders, they all had to meet together and say, look, we've got to come up with a plausible reason to take him to Pilate. Pilate's the only one that can condemn him to die. So we've got to get our act together. We've got to get our act together. You know, and Satan's the author of confusion. And isn't it interesting, even while he's trying to destroy Jesus Christ, he still causes confusion. And, you know, you find yourself in a situation where it's all confusing and everything. What we need to do is just say Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus. Bring your presence into this situation. And I will tell you, many, many times, you're going to think that absolutely everything is as confusing as it can possibly be. Jesus. That's your answer. Whisper that name. You know, many times that's all you need. Well, every time that's all you need, but many times we don't use it. But those times you use it, you're going to find out Jesus is all you need. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Okay, now this is very interesting because have you ever heard the saying that common enemies make good friends? Common enemies make good friends. You see, you can absolutely not stand somebody and all of a sudden they don't like the same person you don't like and you become friends with them. Oh, they're on my side. They don't like her either. Yeah. Yeah, common enemy make good friends. And here the Jews. The Jews can't stand the Romans. They don't like them. They don't like them. But all of a sudden, man, they're in with Pilate here. They need Pilate's help to crucify Christ. All of a sudden, they don't mind those Romans quite as much as they thought they did a couple of days earlier. I want you to go to John 11. John 11. And we're going to look at, start at verse 45. There were many, John 11, can you, everybody has it?
Okay, thank you.
John 11, verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. Now, Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead. Yeah, I'd put my faith in him too. Right. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Now, can you imagine seeing Jesus raise somebody from the dead and going and telling on him? I mean, really?
Something wrong?
Right. Then the chief priest and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing? Here's a man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe them. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. So right here, the chief priests are conspiring to keep the Romans from taking power. But now all of a sudden, when they need the Romans, they take Jesus before Pilate because they want him crucified. The very people that they're afraid of, they are now trying to get to help them accomplish what they need to accomplish. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of hypocrites. There are a lot of people out there who will tell you something, but as soon as it benefits them, they are so quick to do it, it will turn your head. Yeah, and we are living in a society where conviction is no stronger than the next thing that will benefit me. I'm against it until it helps me. I'm against it until it's going to benefit me. I'm against it until somebody in my social circle is going to get mad at me. And then all of a sudden, well, it might be okay. Ladies, if Scripture says it's wrong all the time. You don't get to pick and choose when it's right and when it's wrong. It's wrong or it's right. And we live in a society where it all depends. And here the Romans were people that they were afraid of, that were going to take over their nation, that they had to protect their territory. And as soon as the Romans can help them, all of a sudden the Romans are cool. Let's take them to Pilate. Second thing about the chief priests is they were spiritual leaders. I want you to go to James chapter 3. All right. James chapter 3. Verse 1, many of you should presume, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. You see, here are the chief priests, they're the teachers. They're the Sunday school teachers. They're the pastors. They're the reverends. They're the ones that are teaching the people, and they are going to be held to a much higher level. And here they are out to crucify Jesus Christ. A scripture in 2 Peter, we won't go there because of time, but 2 Peter tells us something very interesting. You stay away from false teachers. You get as far away from them as you can. You know somebody isn't teaching Scripture. Your obligation is to get away from it. You are not to sit under it, and you are to get away from it. And we have a lot of people who are very happy to just sit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. How many of you have heard, oh, I'm going to go to that church. My mother went there. My grandmother went there. My great-grandmother went there. And he married everybody in our family. Of course I'm going to go to church there. But he's not teaching Scripture. Oh. Well, I want to warn you ladies of something very, 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 very dangerous. False teachers are very subtle. And if you do not know the Scripture, you will be caught up in false teaching. You have to know the Scripture. And compare what I say to Scripture. Compare what your pastor says to Scripture. And I am here to tell you, I've told you this from the day we started Bible study. If I tell you something and I can't back it up with Scripture, run. Don't ever come back. It is a very, very serious thing. And here we have the chief priests who are teachers. And they are conspiring to kill Jesus Christ. Pilate asks a very important question. This is an amazing question that he asks. He doesn't say, why are you here? He doesn't say, what have you done wrong? He doesn't say, why do you look like an animal? Because he had been beaten so horribly. He does not say, where are you planning on bringing in your defense from? Because he comes with nobody. Pilate doesn't ask the obvious questions. He asks, are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king of the Jews? Now, I'm going to ask you, is Jesus the king of your life? Is he king? You know, Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Praise the Lord for that. But you know, sometimes we take authority over our friends. Jesus is the Savior that died on the cross for us, and I praise the Lord for that. But sometimes we take that for granted. And I would ask every one of you, and I ask myself this, is he the king of my life? You see, if he's not Lord over everything, he's not Lord over anything. It's a very sobering question to ask, but that is a place where every one of us have to get. We have to get to the place where we say, absolutely, he is first place in my life, in everything that I do, all the time, for every reason, and that is who I serve. And ladies, Pilate's in that situation. Pilate, we're going to find out, has an opportunity to acknowledge him as king of the Jews. But Pilate is a politician. And he decides that the crowd and the votes from the crowd are far more important than standing on his principle. Pilate asks, Jesus is the king of all those who have a circumcised heart. You see, he's not interested in outward circumcision. He's interested in inward circumcision. And inward circumcision says that we cut away all of that which drags us down and keeps us from serving Christ. I'll tell you, I don't know if you've had anything taken or cut away from you. I have. I'm getting something cut away right now, man. And I'll tell you what, it is something to go through. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a person in my life that I just absolutely love, and God is saying, you know what? She's dragging you down. And I'm like, but I don't want that to happen. And he's like, you don't have any choice. I'm king. And I keep going back and getting slammed some more and drugged down some more, and I'm eventually getting it. I mean, I'm sharing my personal testimony with you right now, but we all have stuff in our life that he has to say, I'm going to circumcise, I'm going to cut it away so that your heart will remain pure before me. And that's the work of him by his grace. He does that for our benefit. It isn't something he is doing because he does not love it. Just the opposite. He is doing it because he loves us so much.
I got two. This week, I got paid yesterday, and my paycheck is not what it's supposed to be. I got down $3.50 a day on my paycheck, and I didn't understand why. And the Lord just told me, he said, Sheila, he said, little is much when God is in it. And God proved to me last night that it doesn't matter whether how much I get docked, he's going to provide. And he provided for a thing I was praying for last night.
Praise the Lord.
And you saying what you said, I felt like I needed to say that because I should have said that when I was praising him. That was what I was praising him for, but I just felt like I didn't want to take up a whole lot of time. And I want to ask God to forgive me. Because he deserves that time.
He deserves every bit of it. That's exactly right. I want you to go to Romans 2. I love this verse. Because when we talk about Jesus being the king of the Jews, guess what? That's me. I want you to look at Romans 2:29. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. You see, we are grafted in to Jesus Christ. And when we are grafted in, He starts working in our life to remove those things that shouldn't be there. That's inward circumcision. And so when He says, "Are you King of the Jews?" He's my King.
Amen.
He's my King. And He has full reign to do what He needs to do in my life to make me more like Him. Right. So, are you King of the Jews? Are you King of the Jews? Are you my King? "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Yes, it is as you say. Verse 3, the chief priests accused him of many things. So Pilate again asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of?" I find it interesting here. Pilate knew that these were made up. We're going to find out in a few verses. Pilate knew that they were doing this just out of envy. But not one time did Pilate say, "Enough of this." Not one time did he say, "Enough of this." He chose to remove himself from having to make any decision about Jesus Christ and put it all on someone else. You know, and we as Christians, we have to make decisions about who Jesus Christ is. Who He is in our life and who He is going to be in everything that we do. You see, I don't want to be someone who's ashamed of Jesus Christ. I don't want to have to say, "Oh yeah, I'm just doing that because that's how I was raised." God doesn't have grandchildren.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
You have to be able to say, "I'm doing this because I love Jesus Christ because He first loved me and He died for me."
That's right.
And I'm not ashamed to tell any of you what Jesus Christ has done for me. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. Ladies, that's where your power is. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nobody has to ask us, "Well, what do you think about Jesus?" And we're going to say, "Well, now, Miss Helen, why don't you stand up and tell them what we think of Jesus? Or why don't you come with me Sunday and you can hear what my pastor says about what we think of Jesus?" We need to be ready to tell people what we think of Jesus Christ.
In season and out.
Right. In season and out. We need to be ready to give a reason for our hope. High, optimistic, powerful expectation. Scripture says, be ready to give the reason for your hope. Yeah, we are not people who are ashamed. It's the best thing we've got going.
Amen.
Hey, He took all of my junk and gave me His righteousness. How can I be ashamed of that? That's the gospel. Yeah. Pilate is saying, "You know what? Listen to what these guys are saying. I don't want to have to make a decision. Deep down, I believe you." We're going to find out later on. Deep down, I believe Jesus. Deep down, I think He's probably a cool man that hasn't done anything wrong. But I don't want to have to stand up for Him and make that decision. So I'm going to tell you what they're saying about you. Yeah, ladies, let's make sure that we know who we are in Christ and that we will never be ashamed of the gospel. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.